11 year, I had to tackle Math 20. Now I still hear that Math 20 is one of the hardest years for math. Okay. And it's never been a strong subject for me. So I was a hard one. I could always get by, but I had to push myself. But in this particular math class in grade 11, it went much worse for me. And the reason was that we had a teacher who was not terribly good at teaching, but he was terribly bad at keeping the class in order. Just too gentle, too easygoing, too laissez-faire, letting us do what we want. And as a result, my whole class decided that they didn't respect him or particularly care to listen or do the work that he asked us to do. Now, I'm the oldest child. I've always been the good kid, the rule follower. But in this situation, I followed the crowd. And I too let myself think less of the guy who was in charge of our class. I wasn't openly disrespectful to him, but I did very little listening. And I didn't apply myself. I didn't do the work he prescribed. My teacher was a man in a position of authority, and I did not submit to his leadership. I was swept along by my classmates. I didn't show him honor or respect. But should I have? Really, should I have? He was not very capable as a teacher. He'd been there so long that some of my classmates' parents remembered having him and finding him pretty awful 20 years ago. So should we have respected him? How should we have responded to this man who is in charge of my Math 20 class? Now, before you judge me too harshly on what I did, ask yourself if this is something that you always get right. A bylaw officer slaps a ticket on your car because you are parked illegally. What are some of the choice words and thoughts running through your mind? Your boss at work makes a bad call and sends you on some fool's errand that is a total waste of your time and energy. Your teacher gives you a hard grade on something because she knows that you can do better. What do? If you're angry at your boss, you're angry at your teacher, you're angry at your parents, what do? You spout off a few nasty words, maybe. You pull a friend over. You vent. You talk about them. Say, what's going on? A recent article in the Financial Post highlights the fact that there's been a major shift in our culture in how we treat people in authority. Being in charge used to mean that people would do what you say and follow your lead, and they did that somewhat automatically. Your word was law. You were respected because of your position. But that's no longer the case. Today, we as people are far more cynical and skeptical. And respect and trust for a person in authority is no longer simply given, but we say it must be earned. I'm not just going to do what they say because they're the boss. I mean, they may not know what they're doing, so I'm just going to hang back and see if they do know what they're doing, and then maybe, I'll do what they say. Well, why is this? Why don't we honor or respect those in authority as we used to? Why are we so reluctant to honor and trust them? We don't even live in a country where there is a lot of corruption. We don't have to pay bribes to a group of traffic cops that have set themselves up on the white mud, right? We don't have a lot of corruption in this country. We don't have good reasons not to trust and respect someone who is in charge most of the time. But somehow we justify it, and it is easy to do so. After all, those who are in authority are human. They make mistakes. And when they are in charge of big things, they tend to be big mistakes. My grade 11 math teacher was the official governing authority in that classroom. But as he was human and too gentle to effectively control the class, and we thought of that he was a poor teacher, we gave ourselves permission to ridicule him and ignore his teaching. Were we right to do so? In our minds, we made room for it. But Paul points us in a very different direction. In our text, Paul says to the Christians in Rome, "Let everyone be subject, be submissive to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. When we read a text like this, perhaps we wonder if Paul is just a tad naive. If someone is in authority, submit to them, respect them, honor them, and give them what is due. But really, Paul, would you say these things if you worked for my boss, if you were in that classroom with that teacher? If he knew how self-absorbed people can be, or how corrupt people can be sometimes, would he say these things? And besides the leaders that we have first-hand experience with, right, our teachers and our bosses and parents, right, there's always that question, well, what about some of history's greatest monsters? How would Paul's message have changed if he had been under people like Hitler or Stalin or Mao Zedong, right? Really? Should we respect them? Should we submit to them? Say, you're in authority, right? And I'm going to respect you in that place? Well, before we dismiss Paul as being naive, we should recall that Paul himself has had many, numerous encounters with the authorities, and many of those encounters were not rosy at all. Paul ran afoul of authorities who beat him and interrogated him. He was hauled across the ancient world under orders from those in charge, only to end up in a Roman jail cell. And eventually he was killed for his faith, as tradition would have it, by the Roman Emperor Nero. So Paul does not write these words out of innocence or naivete. He lived them out in much harder circumstances than most of us have experienced. And what does he tell us to do? He tells us to submit to their authority. This person, they are in charge. They have to make decisions that will affect you. So acknowledge their authority over you. Paul says this in the same language as he uses to tell Christians to submit to their spiritual leaders and for slaves to submit to their masters. Now, Paul doesn't say obey. He says submit. He knows very well that those in charge will sometimes tell us to do things that are wrong and may forbid us from doing things that God wants us to do. And so that's where, say, the Hitler question finds an answer. No, we cannot do that because this is clearly not what God wants. And so you had people in the Netherlands who would say, it is against the law for us to hide Jews, but we will do so because this is what God wants. God is the higher authority that we serve. And if God says one thing and those in authority say another, we do what God wants when there's a conflict. And certainly this is a tension that the persecuted church has to live with all the time, where it is illegal for them to gather and to pray and to worship. They break the law. They go against the authorities. Okay? But it's not obey that he says. It is submit. Submit to them. Honor them in their position. Recognize that God has put them there. And we do not speak negatively about them. We do not, but we are there to honor them in that place. Now, why should we do this? Right? That's in the text. Paul says we have to do this because the authorities are appointed by God himself to do this work. And as a general rule, their work serves a healthy purpose. Paul says, the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants. They are there for your good, but they are also agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. Again, he says it again and again and again. They are God's servants. God has put them there. They are here for this reason. They give their full time to governing. So give to everyone what you owe them. If taxes, taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This morning we did a commissioning service. We have sent those who are being in authority in our church with our young people, right? And so we ourselves are acknowledging that these people who have been sent by us are called into this place by God to serve in a special way. And so we send them with that blessing, with that spirit. God has put you there as teachers to work with our kids, right? They are, those that God puts in authority are God's servants for our good, and they are agents of wrath for those who do wrong. God gives us leaders to provide for us. It is an act of grace that he does this. Our government is a tool that God uses to foster the public good. The police are an authority to serve as protectors of the people. Our teachers are appointed by God to help us better understand the world around us and the skills that we will need to thrive in it. Paul says Christians should submit to authority not simply out of fear of wrath, but out of conscience. You and I, we should be respectful to a police officer, not just so that we won't get a ticket or get thrown into prison, but we should do it because God has put them there. They are serving his purpose in his role, and we want to respect and support them in the work that they are doing. Now, does this instruction work in real life situations? Or again, is Paul just touting high ideals that will fall under pressure? Well, let's consider some of the stories we are told in Scripture, examples. Consider Paul's experience with the jailer in Philippi. Here is a man who is in charge in the jail. He is the one who is there to enforce your sentence, to clap you in chains, to beat you when you are not responding as you should. He oversees a dungeon. It's not your typical respectable position, but he is the authority there. Was he corrupt? Did he take bribes from prisoners to look the other way and when certain things happen? We don't know. But this we do know, that Paul and Silas spent a few nights under his watch. They were in his prison, and while they were there, they sang and they shared with other prisoners what God was doing. And one night, a great earthquake hit. The prison was blown open. Everyone was freed. And what does the jailer go to do? Out of fear, he goes to take his own life so that it will at least look like he had tried to stop them from escaping. But Paul intervenes. He goes to the jailer and says, please don't kill yourself. We're all here. And he submits to the jailer's authority. Even though his chains are broken, he says, you are in charge. We are your prisoners. We're still here. Out of gratitude for that submission, the jailer takes him home to his own house for dinner. And there the jailer and his family become followers of Jesus. Paul both preaches and practices showing grace to those in authority. He prayed for those who had imprisoned him. He showed love and respect to those in authority even when they were charged to do bad things to him. It is what Jesus showed us as well in his own walk. Even when he was on his road to the cross, he was like a lamb. He was humble, gentle, and respectful. He spoke simply and graciously to a man like Pilate. And as tradition again would have it, in response to what they saw, Pilate's wife became one of his followers too. As I look back on my own experience in Math 20, I wonder what might have happened if I and others had taken a different tack with our teacher. It is perfectly clear to me that disrespect didn't work. I and many others failed that class. We didn't make it. To this day, it is the only class that I ever failed. And it was the only class where I really just let myself not care about the teacher or what he was doing or trying to teach. I just checked out entirely, right? That was the class I failed. It doesn't work. And it is easy it was easy to blame it on the teacher, to say, well, the teacher, he wasn't a good teacher anyway, right? It's easy to do that, but we made our choices. We chose not to respect him, and so we didn't listen, we didn't work hard, and we failed. Now, looking back on this experience, I know that if I had been more proactive, if I'd worked harder, if I'd gone and asked the teacher for help, if I'd been more encouraging to him, asking him to explain things a little better, that we would all have done better. If we had actually invested and said, we want to learn, teach us, please, right? We are all far better off when we learn to see those in charge through God's eyes. God appoints people to be in authority positions. It is how he provides for us. It is an act of grace, a way he teaches us and changes us. So when we submit to those God puts in charge, we are trusting God's judgment and his will for us. We are cooperating with his grace. As we show grace, honor, and respect to those in authority over us, they are better able to carry out the work that God has given them to do. Now, when we are faced with authorities that do show their human frailty in one way or another, I think we do well to heed the wisdom that we learn from Jesus and from Paul, to win them over with love and prayer, support, and encouragement. I'd like to talk just with our young people for a little while. Okay? A few words to you in youth group, okay? Youth or young adults. If you are having a rough go with your parents or your teachers, I encourage you to make the choice to honor and respect them. Submit to their authority. Pray for them. Sometimes you will be tempted to go trash-talking your teacher with your friends, or to say things about your parents, grumping, gossiping. But I want you to consider that when you do those things, it damages your relationship with that person. Even if that person never hears about it, even if your teacher never finds out what you said, when the next time you go into the classroom, you will find yourself changed. Because you have said those things, you've participated in that, in saying those terrible things, you will no longer be able to listen in the same way, to respect this person. You won't be able to hear what they say. You have attacked them in your own mind and heart, and you are changed by it. So try this instead, okay? When you have a teacher who is struggling, or you are upset with your parents, try praying for them. Ask God to work in your heart and in theirs. Ask them for help on things that you struggle with, and take a humble posture in all of it. Show them grace and love. Give them room to teach you and love you, and see what God does with that. We saw what happened with the jailer, right, when Paul did this to him. Try it. See what God does when we submit to those that are in authority. To honor someone is to think highly of them, to protect their reputation, to respect the role that they play. That's something good for all of us to practice, isn't it? People of God, when Paul speaks to the church in Rome, he encourages them to submit to those in authority, to honor them and respect them, to give them what is due to them. It is a pattern that was lived out by Paul and by Jesus himself. It is the way of love and grace, and it is all done in trust for the ultimate authority, for God himself. And ultimately, that is where we want to find ourselves, in submission to God, trusting his hands to shape and mold us. Part of our submission to God does involve being in submission to those he has put over us, because God does use people in authority to do his work. So when we submit to them, God is better able to show his grace. He is better able to use them to accomplish his purpose, shaping, preserving, and renewing us and the world that we live in. Amen. Let's stand together now and sing a song that does have that posture of submission, of open hands, open heart to receive what God would teach us, and think about what God wants to teach us through those that God has put in our life to challenge us to be in authority over us. Let's stand and sing these words together. Have thine own way, Lord.